RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
All right, almost a year ago, for those of you with great memories, you might remember that we had Kevin Moran on, Save Our Springs coordinator, and he was reporting on their success after 10 years battling to protect the Waikoropupu Springs in Takaka, the world's clearest water. Well, he was quite pleased back then, if I remember rightly. About a year ago, Kevin was. He's back with us now. Kevin, welcome back to RCR.
Yeah, great to hear you again, Paul. Looking forward to our chat.
Nice to have you again. So that was then, this is now. So Waikoropupu Springs under some sort of threat again. What's going on, Kevin?
Well, there's just been a huge turnaround. I mean, to sum it up, we were jubilant, basically, about getting this amazing water conservation order that was so new in so many ways and just suited to Waikoropupu Springs and protecting its outstanding qualities. And just around about February, we started to hear about the fast-track legislation. Then we heard about a mine called Siren Gold applying to be fast-tracked. And that process started to go, and suddenly we realised the danger that place, Te Waikoropupu, springs in.
What is the danger exactly?
The danger is exactly... is if a mine goes in there, in this particular place, it's mining ore with a high arsenic content. Now, that ore will be taken to a processing plant, which is above the recharge area of the aquifer.
Right.
Now, that high arsenic grade ore will be crunched into dust, and then go through a processing and be put in a big pond of chemicals, and the gold will be extracted. Now, that is going to end up that, and then the pond is left with all the arsenic. That there is the danger point, with a massive, massive pond of chemicals that are sitting there in an area which is prone to flooding and earthquakes and goodness knows what. And across the world, such tailings dams have a reputation of failing.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be only 10% of them have failed, but it's still 10%. And if that goes, then all that muck and gut and poison, particularly arsenic, will end up in the aquifer.
Yeah.
And that is a danger both to the purity of the waters, the clarity of them. It's a danger to the farming community because the arsenic can travel up into the grass and into the cows and into the milk, and it just goes on. And, of course, it's a danger to the drinking water of people in Golden Bay and Takaka in particular.
Yeah, arsenic has quite bad effects. We found out from Gary Moller the other day on our health hacks. It can lead to incredible fatigue, all sorts of issues there, which are not nice. Okay, I get that. So looking at what the press releases are saying regarding the mine and the company... Siren is the company, I think.
Siren Gold, yep.
Yep, Sam's Creek is the area. They're talking about possibly 800,000 ounces in a kind of a valley there, an anvil-shaped valley.
And I was up there yesterday.
Right.
Up there.
Okay,
yep.
And their prospecting is showing that not only is gold at the surface or rock-containing gold, not at the surface, but it goes way down as well. So 800,000 ounces... And it's just over 4,000 an ounce kiwi at the moment. It's over $3 billion worth of gold. So there's a hell of a tension there, isn't there, Kevin?
Well, and of course, Paul, that is incredible spin. Because
you think so? Yep.
Oh, absolutely. Because what it says is this massive amount of gold that they don't know that. They absolutely don't know how much is there.
Mm.
They're not sure on it. They're saying that in other press releases that they don't have enough information at the moment. So that spin Yeah. So
okay.
What it doesn't actually take into account is the amount of energy that this whole that the mining operation will take. It's going to cost an enormous amount of money to get the gold out and to process it, and with all the dangers that entails.
This fast tracking, this legislation.
Yep.
What does it actually mean for a project like this? How does it change things from the way it used to be? Can you give us a view?
Yeah, sure. So I can let you know precisely. So Te Waikarepupu Springs at the moment has a water conservation order. That took about 2 years, you know, in the Environment Court to finally get it all together. The top experts in New Zealand looked at Te Waikarepupu Springs and what was needed to protect it. And so we've got this amazing water conservation order, which basically protects the aquifer which feeds the springs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's a biggest in Australasia, massive marble aquifer. So that's it's all protected. Now, the fast track legislation enables the government to bypass that water conservation order. It can bypass any of the water conservation orders. They can just go through it.
Right.
So that protection is lost. Now, this hasn't been finalised because they're still finalising the bill, and there's lots of submissions in there, including Saviour Springs, saying don't do this, and for these reasons. But until we actually know if it's fast-tracked at the moment, there is the danger that they'll just walk past the water conservation, ignore the advice that's in there and all the expertise, and fast track the mine.
Yeah, but that's a lot to do, isn't it, with everything that's at stake, you know, with the impact on, well, human beings first, up the animals, the environment, of any arsenic that gets out or any other heavy metals or anything from that pond that you're talking about into the aquifer, but also with over 90,000 visitors a year to those springs, who would have the balls to risk that? Come on.
It's not a man. I quite like balls, Paul. I like men with balls. But yeah. I don't like stupid men. And usually we are talking males mostly here. You know, so it's an act of stupidity, an utter stupidity on the behalf of the government to risk Te Waikarepupu Springs. You know, so we're in there. You know, we're talking to them. We've taken a petition to the government. We've been on the steps of government. It's been read in Parliament, the petition. It's all there. Comments have been made in Parliament. They know. They know that Te Waikarepupu Springs is at risk. But nothing's happened yet. You know, they haven't responded to that publicly. Okay. So it's just stupidity. It makes me really grumpy and cross.
Yeah, I kind of hear it in your voice. Over 24,000 have signed the petition. That's a pretty good number.
It's huge. Mate, you know, like I was the kind of key person in there. I just kept, if you like, encouraging people to sign. It started with one. And then it just went.
Yep.
And so to get to that in a short length of time, and towards the end, it was just going berserk. People were sharing and signing everywhere. And I was getting email after email of people who were deeply moved and wanting to protect the springs. It's a lot of people, 25,000. There's 5,800 people in Golden Bay. And 3,000 of them are voters, so, you know, the rest are children. So, you know, the local area is a smaller area, but the nationwide, across the country, there's just this huge amount of support for it. I mean, people, like you say, there's 100,000 people roughly a year come down and have a look at it. There's busload after busload over the summer season. Like, it could be lost. You know, like the pink and white terraces were once lost. They were there. They were beautiful. A volcano wiped them out. But this time, it could be the stupidity of the government that wipes them out. It wipes they won't got to prove the springs out.
Is there any way in your mind that this mining can be accommodated and the safety and assurance of the future of these springs as pristine features of nature can be maintained? Is there any, do they come together at any point, or are they just so mutually exclusive in your mind?
Look, they are mutually exclusive, and I'm not, I'm being fair on this. If there was, I understand there are I guess, to be frank, I'm opposed to gold mines, like these big industrialized ones, and not just small mining operations that people do themselves. But it's particularly wrong there. You get an area like down in Reefton where they have a history of gold mining, and they welcome it because they've already got gold mines there.
Right.
And they welcome new mines down there. This community doesn't welcome them at all. They've never had a mine like this. And the reason why it's utterly incompatible is the aquifer, this huge aquifer which creates the clear water. And so everybody who kind of looks at it gets to this point and sort of goes, it actually is incompatible. It's just not doable, that the risk is too great. It might not happen to the next 10 years or 20, but the likelihood is sooner or later there's some movement on the fault line along here. This is earthquake-prone country or major floods. So, there's just too many ifs in there to actually.
Well, there was an earthquake in St Arnold Range only last week.
Yeah.
I saw that, 3.6.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, there you go.
But
I mean, that's the country. It's just the fault line comes along here. Yeah.
Okay, what about, just to wrap up, local politicians, who are the ones that you are looking to be on board with the locals' interests, let's say, in this? And are they performing? Are they doing the right things? Are you satisfied with the efforts? Can you tell us?
We have had good support from both the Labor Party and the Green Party.
Right.
And particularly the Green Party. But when we came to Parliament with the petition, we just arrived there, didn't know who was going to, we knew the Green Party was going to accept it. Lunfarm, the Green MP, agreed to accept it on behalf of Parliament, the petition.
Yep.
And at that point, we arrived there, next second, there were MPs everywhere, and Labor turned up. All the big hitters from Labor, were there, and they were enthusiastically supporting us because we are an example, or Te Waikarapupu Springs are an example of what could happen anywhere. Essentially, if we can't save Te Waikarapupu Springs, we have got no show in other places across New Zealand. What the politicians liked, and I'm speaking a bit of that, Labor Party politicians, David Parker, I had a long yarn with him, and I'm missing her name, that the spokesperson, the MP for Dunedin, I spoke with her for a long time.
Oh, Ingrid Leary.
And they were very, very, you could see from them, it wasn't just a political kind of, let's support this because it's a political plus for us to be seen supporting it. They actually were opposed to it, strongly opposed, both Labor and the Green Party. Yeah, so
it's a pity they weren't so helpful when they had our, we're taking our rights away 3 years ago, Kevin, just got to say. So
they
cherry
people,
pick their issues, don't they, in the end, all politicians actually.
Yeah, well, I, Yeah, I mean, I'm just focusing on that issue. And I know people had big problems with what happened when the COVID-19 came through.
Well, if you hadn't destroyed the economy, we wouldn't be needing gold, perhaps. Here's another story. Not saying that we should be doing it, but, you know, it's a bit rich for some of them. But, okay, if they are supporting, fair enough. I understand.
Yeah, they are. I mean, that is the fact. That today, at this time, with this issue, they are very supportive.
All right. If people want to know more, Kevin, and want to help and give support, and is the petition still up for signatures, or has that been presented now? Is that over?
It has been presented, but people can still sign it. And if they sign it, they'll still get updates on,
right,
you know, what's going on, because the petition actually stays alive.
Okay.
It's now in the parliamentary system. I'm going to, what happens when you take a petition in these days is it just doesn't arrive and they take it in the door and kind of put it somewhere.
Yep.
They do that, but they also goes to the petitions committee, which, yep, has been there. It's been discussed there.
Mm-hmm.
They've come back to us and asked for a submission, which we've created and sent it back to them about what we actually want to happen with it. And then in about 2 or 3 weeks, I'm going to speak to the Environment Petitions Committee. So, about that, and it'll be the last chance to really affect the process of where that goes, particularly the fast track process.
You can always do what people have done in the past, Kevin, even if it gets beyond that, is you turn up and you literally sit in front of the equipment.
Yeah, that's the go-to plan. What we're going to do is we're going to try the political process.
Yeah.
And we're going to, if it isn't fast-tracked, the mining company will take it through the normal resource management approach, that the water conservation order will be operating. At that time, it's going to have to, if the mine will have to get past that. They're going to have to prove it's safe.
Yeah.
To do that. I think they're going to have trouble doing that.
Well, it's a way higher bar, isn't it, in the end?
Yeah, it is a high bar. And so if it gets past that high bar,
yep,
then at that point, the option you're talking about non-violent resistance, this community will just go into action.
Right.
You know, there's people are talking about that all over the show, and not just in this community. People will come here, and this mine will be stopped.
Sometimes you've got to think about that. All right, and saveoursprings.nz is the website that people can go to.
Yeah, it's a great website. There's two great films in there too that show you beautiful footage of Te Waikarapupu Springs, and they're really worth watching. Yeah.
Okay, Kevin, thanks for coming back on. Good to catch up with you again. We're going to be watching this one with interest, and I hope it doesn't have to go all the way, just like we've been talking about.
Well, I do. Yeah, so do I,
and,
too.
But
you've got to stand up and be counted, actually, that I am and others. Save Our Springs is you've just got to fight it. That's all that it means until we get to the end of this.
Until we get another update from you, Kevin. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks very much. All the best.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.